It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. It's the AFC and NFC Championship games tomorrow. In the NFC, it will be Green Bay taking on Tampa Bay. AFC Championship game in Kansas City will feature the Kansas City Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills, and we are joined by Learfield's Missouri Net Sports Director Bill Pollack. We're going to concentrate on that Kansas City-Buffalo football game, but boy, what an intriguing matchup, Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game when you have Tom Brady for the Buccaneers, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's a battle of two Hall of Famers. One is certainly going to be the league MVP and Aaron Rodgers. I would argue that the league MVP is Tom Brady. When you look at the fact that before he came there, they were a non-playoff team. I think they were 9-6 or 6-9, something like 6-10. They turn around, they go 11-5 and make the playoffs. What he's done with that franchise and with the receivers that were in place is an extraordinary accomplishment. And then you get past Drew Brees on the road. So, yeah, it'll be a great matchup. I think that depth-wise, I think Green Bay is a little deeper, and the fact that they're playing at home, Aaron Rodgers is playing at such a high level. He's got high-level players around him. I think the Packers win this one.
All right, Buffalo's 13-3 coming into the game tomorrow at Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 14-2. These two met in Buffalo Week 6. The Chiefs won 26-17. How much do you put into that when you look at this championship game tomorrow?
Not much. It was early in the year. The Buffalo Bills had their schedule adjusted because of the Titans having COVID-19 issues. So they had games that were postponed, moved around. This game got moved to a Monday night. The weather was an issue. And from that time on, Buffalo has gotten better and better. They've gotten healthier on defense. They were missing at least a key player in their linebacker, Mike Milano, in that first game. And in that game, the Chiefs had running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was a big factor in that game, and now he's questionable for this one. So I think the way that the Bills played the Chiefs, I think you may see some of those same strategies employed. We can talk a little bit more about that. But, I think whatever happened in Week 6, you can throw out the window, because these teams are certainly different, and Buffalo is playing much, much better.
Couple of interesting numbers, though, from Week 6. The Chiefs had to settle for 4 field goals and won the ball game by 9, as I mentioned, 26-17. Chiefs had over 460 yards of total offense, held the Bills to 200 yards of total offense. In time of possession, 38 minutes nearly in the ball game for the Chiefs versus 22 for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it was a game where the Chiefs ran the football. The Buffalo Bills were not going to get beat deep. Tyreek Hill was not going to beat them long. They were going to take away the long pass. And so they went with a steady dose of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who ran the ball 26 times, had over 160 yards. So it was a different game that we're used to seeing from the Chiefs. So they ran the ball. They ran the ball. They chewed up the clock. And the weather, I think it was raining that night, too, if I remember correctly. So it wasn't a night to throw the football either. So what that showed me is that the Chiefs had the ability to change, make their adjustments, and have the ability to run the football against Buffalo. And I don't think the Bills have as strong of a run game either. So weather conditions played a factor, and then what the Bills were able to do defensively kind of changed things up. So how the Chiefs go about this week in attacking Buffalo, it'll be very interesting to watch.
We talked about that NFC Championship game in two future Hall of Famers in Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and you take a look at this Kansas City versus Buffalo football game tomorrow, and it's a situation where two young superstar quarterbacks in the NFL will play, Josh Allen for Buffalo, Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, Josh Allen took a much different route. He came from Wyoming and was thrust into the starting role, and in 2018 struggled. Showed a little more improvement last year and got them to the playoffs. And this year, his third year, and there was a lot of question marks after his first year about whether or not this was a smart draft pick, whether or not this was a guy that was going to be able to make it in the NFL. And now here he is in his third year, and he's one game away from the Super Bowl. So he's developed. He's got the arm. He also has the ability to run. He's almost like having an extra running back out there. And Bill Belichick said that's one of his strengths that goes unnoticed. He runs like a running back, and he's tough to bring down. Patrick Mahomes, kind of a different story. I mean, he came in and immediately lit the league on fire. And remember, he came in his first year, that final game against Denver, and wowed a lot of people with some of the throws he was able to make, and took over, slid into that role his first year as a starter. They should have gone to the Super Bowl had it not been for Dee Ford lining up offside. And then he leads them to the Super Bowl. So his rise so much more quicker than Josh Allen, but they're both talented quarterbacks. Allen has done a much better job of reading defenses, and so has Patrick Mahomes. That's one of those things that just as you play and you get experience, you learn. But Mahomes just had so much more raw talent that when he missed a read, he was still able to do things that most guys can't. And I don't know if we've ever seen anybody that could make some of the plays that Patrick makes. So two different ways to get to this point, but both very good, outstanding quarterbacks. And some people say Josh Allen should be the league's MVP.
Diggs for Buffalo, Kelce for Kansas City, two outstanding receivers, and you throw Tyreek Hill in there as well for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that certainly needs to be talked about. You've got Diggs, number one in the NFL in receiving yards. Kelce, number two. I mean, it's just remarkable what he does as a tight end. And certainly that helps, as you mentioned, having Tyreek Hill, because it makes it near impossible to guard both of them. You can't double-team both of them. So if you're going to take away the deep game from Tyreek Hill, well, then that's going to open things up for Travis Kelce. If you're going to try to take Travis Kelce away, then you're going to get burned deep with guys like Hill and Sammy Watkins, who will not be in this game. So Kelce has that ability to fight, get open, get those tough yards, and make those tough catches. And that's where having this Mike Milano is going to be a key for Buffalo. He did not play in that first game. Last week against Baltimore, they did a really good job of shutting down their tight end, Mark Andrews. So look for the big matchup of being Milano, also on defensive side, linebackers for Buffalo. You've got to look at Tremaine Edmonds as well. So their linebacker play is going to be very important in slowing Travis Kelce down.
One of the things I saw, I believe during the regular season, the Kansas City Chiefs defense was last in the league in the red zone. Having said that, when you take a look at this game, what's it going to come down to? What's the number one key?
Well, the number one key, I think, for the Chiefs defensively is not give up big plays. And I think they have to take the same approach that Buffalo took against them in the first matchup in week six, and that's not give up the big plays, because Stephon Diggs will hurt you. Cole Beasley is a great second option. Mm-hmm. They've got to be able to put pressure on Josh Allen. If there's one area where Buffalo is weak, it's on their offensive line. They tend to give up some sacks. You can put some pressure on Josh Allen. If they don't get pressure on him at certain times and he's able to run and extend drives, that could be critical. You know, the big matchup here is what do the Chiefs do with their secondary? Bashaud Breeland, questionable. He has a concussion. He went through protocol. Haven't heard much about him. Rashad Fenton, who comes in passing situations. So they're very thin. You're going to have Jajarius Sneed, Charvarius Ward, Tyrann Mathieu, Daniel Sorensen, all four great safeties and corners, but not a lot of depth behind them. And that's the concern. That's what I'm talking about. You can't give up those big plays, those big chunks. So the back end of that Chiefs defense is going to have to really step up on Sunday.
Final question, who wins the game?
Well, I think, a lot of people are high. They're excited about Buffalo. But I'll tell you something, though. I think the experience, having Patrick Mahomes back, we haven't even talked about him being able to play in this game. I don't think he was dinged up severely. I don't even know if he had a concussion. I think maybe he was choked out So the key to that is, while he may have had to go through the protocol steps, I think he was still able to study, still able to watch film. His toe, this actually may be a blessing that he didn't practice as much because it gave his toe a chance to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I just think a healthy, alert Patrick Mahomes, man, until someone beats him in the playoffs, I got to think that he's going to pull it out. It's going to be close, though. I'm going to say 27-24 Chiefs.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. Learfield's Missouri Net Sports Director, Bill Pollack. Again, it's the NFC and AFC Championship games tomorrow. NFC will feature Green Bay against Tampa Bay, AFC Kansas City against Buffalo. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS. Welcome back to the Coach's Show. Helias Crusaders head wrestling coach Weston Kelleher joins us. You're on your way. If you're not already there, Platte County Invitational. Good morning, Coach.
Yep. How are you?
Good. Platte County Invitational, pretty good wrestling tournament, isn't it?
Yes, sir. There's some solid Kansas City schools. You got Platte County, Smithville, Oak Grove. Then you get a couple Central Missouri schools, us and Kirksville and one Kansas school and Carthage. So it's a good tournament, and we're excited to go have some fun.
And you mentioned just a moment ago, it's an opportunity to see some western side of the state wrestling teams as you get ready to prepare for the state tournament, which is in March of this year.
Yes, sir. I mean, not just some teams from the west side of the state, but some of the better teams perennially and historically. So it's good to see competition. We've done it all year, and I think we've gotten better from it.
Tell me about your wrestling squad. It looks like it's been a pretty good year for the Crusaders thus far. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, we go out and compete every time, and we got a good team, a good nucleus of kids. Like I said, we've seeked out a lot of really good competition this year. We've wrestled every team ranked 1 and 2 in the state so far this year in each class, and these kids just keep going. Our record might not be anything fancy, but I mean, we don't really care about that. We're trying to prepare for now March, what used to be February. Now that state tournament got pushed back, so we're just preparing for those tournaments, those postseason tournaments.
You know, we took a look at the numbers last night, and I think you're 14-7 overall, 3-1 in the CMAC as far as the Central Missouri Activities Conference is concerned. That's a pretty good year so far.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good year. Like I said, the kids really work hard and been having a lot of fun.
Talk to me about Wednesday, Fleming Fieldhouse, Jefferson City, and Helias, a duel that everybody looks forward to, and it was a heck of a match all the way up and down the line, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. I mean, when you put two well-coached teams together and two historically good teams against each other, I mean, you have a fun rivalry, and that's what that is. And we fell short. We knew we had to get points in places, and we didn't get some of those points, and we knew we couldn't give up points in places, and we gave them up. So, I mean, congrats to Coach Cagle and the Jefferson City Jays. They won that duel.
And one of the things, too, that I really like about the situation when Jefferson City and Helias meet in wrestling is there's a lot of respect for the coaches and for the wrestlers on each school's team, isn't there?
Yes, sir. I mean, we want to beat each other up on one night of the year. Then the rest of the time, I think we're each other's biggest fans. So,
you'll be pretty busy again next week, won't you?
Yes, sir. We have Capital City, and then we have Smith Cotton, and then we host the CMAC tournament.
Yeah, the Central Missouri Activities Conference Tournament is at Helias. You'll be hosting it on Saturday. Let me ask you, let's step back for just a second and talk about this Platte County Invitational as well as the CMAC Individual Tournament coming up next Saturday. Are these team events or are these dual tournaments?
So the Platte County Invitational is a dual tournament this year.
Okay.
Because of switching to one day, COVID, you know, teams drop out, stuff like that. They're running it as a dual tournament, so that's the way that one is. The conference tournament is an individual tournament, and that's just how you get your individual recognition from for the conference. Mm-hmm. So this is how you get your first team all conference. You got to place first, and so on and so forth on that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it just a few moments ago with the pandemic. A lot of the what would be two-day wrestling tournaments are just one-day tournaments this year, and a lot of them are dual tournaments. You like dual tournaments?
They've been fun. Yeah, and we've wrestled, you know, in one, two. This will be our third dual tournament. We've got one individual tournament in. We just like to wrestle, you know, no matter how the tournament is or how the format is. We just like to wrestle.
Mm-hmm. You know, you had the situation where they came out with the situation for wrestling postseason after you'd put your schedule together, and it'll be 2 weeks. I think right now when I saw your schedule, it would be 2 weeks after your last event before districts on February the 13th. Then there's 2 weeks till sectionals on February the 27th, and then the state tournament will be March the 9th through the 13th. So when you take a look at that, it's kind of having to set things up differently than you normally would as far as postseason play is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we had no control in how it was set up, but it's nothing new. We normally have a two-week break before districts, and then we get healthy and move into the postseason, the district tournament. But, you know, with COVID and We're happy we're wrestling, man, and that's as simple as it gets. If they would have said that you got a month between tournaments,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have, you know, turned a nose to it. We would just go wrestle they told us to, and that's all we've been doing. That's all we've done all year.
What do you like best?
Worrying about too much just because we can't control it.
Right, right. What do you like best about your wrestling team right now?
I like exactly that. They're just all about going out and seizing the opportunity. You know, they're able to wrestle, so they're just going out and wrestling, and they're not turning their nose up to how things are or blaming anything on this or that. They're just going out and wrestling. That's what I like most about this group, and they're holding themselves accountable all the time.
14 weight classes. Are you filled in each one of your weight classes as you go to this Platte County Invitational today?
We have two opens today.
Yep.
We've been open all year at 220,
mm-hmm.
and then we're open at 120 today because of just trying to rest a couple guys that have been a little bit beat up. So,
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. I know you're underway pretty quickly here in the Platte County Invitational on the western side of the state, but we appreciate your time on the Coach's Show this morning, and good luck today.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Helias Crusaders head wrestling coach Weston Kelleher. Again, they're at the Platte County Invitational today, and as you mentioned, a busy week next week for them. Tuesday, they will wrestle against Capital City. On Thursday, they will take on Sedalia Smith Cotton, and then it's the Central Missouri Activities Conference Individual Tournament, which will be hosted by Helias a week from today. Back with more after the break, the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Events are fluid.
We will not be increasing our police budget.
Details are constantly changing.
Check back at the top of the hour for the latest on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS. The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick. Last night they captured the St. James tournament title with a victory over the Fatima Comets. We're going to talk about this, but we also want to talk to him about how the setup is going to be this year with regards to postseason basketball across the state of Missouri. First of all, congratulations on the tournament title. I think that's maybe 3 years in a row that you've captured the tournament title at St. James.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. It's the third year that we've been able to win that tournament, and that's always such a good tournament for us. Very competitive, like we talked about last week. Just we get to see, you know, we played Fatima for the championship, and obviously they're on our schedule. But outside of them, it's a tournament where we get to see some different teams. And every time we play Fatima, you know, that's a battle. So no different last night.
Yeah, rivalry game with the Comets. Second time you've played them, second victory for you against Fatima, and both are in the same district, so you could see them a third time this year.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that with the close proximity, that's bound to happen, you know, at times. And, you know, it's going to be, if we have the opportunity to play a third time, I'm sure it will be just as good of a game as the first two have been.
Let's talk about the St. James tournament very quickly, because when we had you on last Saturday, you were scheduled to meet the St. James Junior Varsity on Monday, and then when Monday came, you were no longer playing them. And when I took a look at the entire tournament schedule, it looked to me like St. James and its JV were no longer in the tournament.
Yeah, it's funny how we had that conversation, and just 2 days later, it literally happened at about noon on Monday, where St. James' entire program was put into quarantine, and they both teams pulled out of the tournament. And I have a lot of respect for the St. James administration, Greg Harlan, the AD. I think it would have been real easy for them to just scrap the whole thing, since both of their teams are out of the tournament, but they forged ahead, came up with a new schedule with two pools, so we had pool play, and we were able to still get three games this week. So a lot of credit goes out to them to make that happen. You know, we had talked about the difficulty in preparing on the fly. Well, we were put to the test. You know, they redo the schedule, and we play Sullivan first round. They weren't even on the same side of the bracket as right. us in the original bracket, so we hadn't really thought too much about them, so we had to scramble and get some film and do some preparation. And you know, I give our kids a lot of credit to come out and, you know, have the success that they did this week.
You know, I'm glad you said something about St. James handling the tournament, because you're right, they could have easily just said, listen, we can't play, our varsity can't play, our JV can't play, therefore we're not going to host the tournament. And they didn't do that, and I think a lot of credit, as you mentioned, should go to them for continuing on with the tournament this week.
Yeah, in times like this, it just seems like sometimes that's just, you know, the easy way out, and they didn't take that way. And like I said, that's one of the reasons we've gone down there for as long as we have. It's just the hospitality is great, and they just run a first-class event.
You beat Sullivan to open up the tournament 77-40. You outscored them 29-7 in the third quarter. Quinn Cushion with 28 points. Luke Northweather with 18. In the second round on Thursday, you beat Licking by a score of 90-44, all 10 players scoring in the basketball game, 4 Falcons in double figures. Luke Northweather with 25 points, Jake Closter with 17, Quinn Cushion with 16. You led 49-20 at the half. And then last night in the title game, you beat Fatima by a score of 61-53. As we mentioned, your second win of the season over the Comets, Luke Northweather with 29 points, Quinn Cushion 13, 11 for Jake Closter. So victories over Sullivan, Licking, and Fatima to take the St. James tournament title. An 8-game winning streak now for you. You are 12-2 on the season.
Yeah, we've played really well, you know, since the holiday tournament at Jeff City. This week we shot the ball really well, starting to see some guys kind of find some rhythm as far as on the offensive end. Congrats to, you know, Luke Northweather was named the tournament MVP. Quinn Cushion made the all-tournament team. Those guys are very, very deserving. It's good to see the amount of time that they put, you know, spend in the gym in the off season, really paying off, and just proud of our team as a whole. A lot of guys got some minutes this week, and you know, starting to see balanced scoring, and it's fun to see teams, you know, our team coming together.
You know, taking a look at a couple of quick numbers, you're averaging about 74 points a ball game, giving up about 57 a game, so that's a 17-point difference. You have to be pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the offensive end of the floor. I think our defense can continue to improve. It seems like every time you ask me a question about offense, I tend to go to the defensive end of the floor. I start talking about that. I think we can improve there. Fatima last night, for example, they run their offense so well, and I think we got some things we can work on. I think that's the area that we can improve in the most, and something that we'll focus on, you know, here on out.
We want to talk about postseason, but one other point before we go to that: undefeated in conference play, Southern Boone, I believe, undefeated in conference play, and you will host them Tuesday night. Southern Boone and Versailles played earlier in the week, and I think I got this correct: 111-89. Southern Boone wins the basketball game. 200 points in 32 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy. Versailles is playing a style of basketball where they are getting up and down the floor. And there's a couple of colleges that play the same style. Greenville, which is in Westminster's conference, and then Grinnell. Most people have probably heard of Grinnell before, but they, you know, sub five guys about every minute, trying to shoot the basketball within 10 seconds, pressing full court, and it's a unique style. It's pretty fun to watch. And Southern Boone has played Versailles twice now, I believe, and I believe they've scored over 100 both times. So, you know, they have the ability to score the basketball. And try to get a hold of that film and watch that and make a game plan for Tuesday.
You talked about wanting to work on your defense, giving up 57 points a ball game.
Yeah, something's got to give, I guess.
Yeah, really.
We'll see what happens.
I talked to David Fox earlier this week about this, and I said, I'm going to call Coach Vic the professor of postseason when we have him on Saturday, because in a press release issued by the Missouri State High School Activity Association back in mid-December, talked about modifications being made to some of the winter sports. And one of the paragraphs was stated as, basketball modifications have been made to the district tournament, sectional, and quarterfinal games. All rounds of the district tournament, sectional, and quarterfinal games will now be hosted by a member school. Okay, so I took a look a couple of weeks ago at the districts, just kind of familiarizing myself with who all is in each district as far as Capital City, Jefferson City, Hialeah, and Blair Oaks is concerned. And I noticed that in Class 4 in your district, there was a host designation next to Blair Oaks. In the past, you would assume that that means that Blair Oaks is hosting the district, and that's not the case.
No, it's a little misleading the way they have it on the website with the word host. What that means is that our athletic director, Corey Felton, is the manager of the district. He's the one in charge of all the correspondence from MSHA, getting it out to schools, organizing the meetings to set the seed meeting, to set the schedule, and that type of stuff. That's what that means on the website. You're right. In the past, that would have meant that school was hosting the tournament. But all that means now is that school's athletic director is in charge of the organization.
And your district will consist of Cuba, Fatima, Owensville, Blair Oaks, Salem, and St. James. And I would imagine that the athletic directors of each one of those schools have been in pretty good contact on a pretty regular basis with each other.
Yeah, they actually met. Our district met Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and we already have the schedule set for the district, what days, what the times are going to be. So when we have the seed meeting here in about... I think it's about 3 weeks now. That'll all be set.
Okay, so how are we going to do it as far as district is concerned? Again, it used to be that if you were the host, then you hosted all of those basketball games. My understanding now is it's going to be based on seeding.
Yeah, so So what we're going to do, and they, for the first two rounds, the higher seed will host the game. And the correspondence that the Activities Association sent out, that was what had to be done for the first two rounds. When you get to the championship game, your district has the option of continuing with the higher seed hosting the district championship game, or you can determine, your district ADs can determine that we are going to have a predetermined school host the championships regardless of who makes the championship game, because that has to be decided before the seed meeting. You can't wait to the seed meeting, see what the seeds are, and then try to decide where you're going to have the championship game. So our district already has that decided. That was one of the things they decided Tuesday. So regardless of what happens, Owensville will be hosting our girls and boys district championship games.
All right, so let's, for purposes of discussion, let's say that the Blair Oaks Falcons are the number one team in the district, seeded number one. You would host the first round. You win that game, you would host the next round. Well, I guess if it's a six-team district, you probably would draw a bye then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the top two teams in our district will get a bye. So three will host six,
right.
Four will host five, and then whoever wins, one will host, and then two will host in the semifinals.
And then, the district game will be at Owensville, district title game, right?
Yep. So for us, they're going girls, and girls Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and boys Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So the girls' championship game would be at Owensville at 6 o'clock on that Friday, and then the boys' championship game would be at Owensville on 3 o'clock on that Saturday.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about it from the standpoint of getting to the district title game and the fact that it could be at a, quote, neutral site, could you have gone to someplace other than a team in the district as an example? Could you have said, hey, we're all going to agree that if there's a district title game, it would be played at Helias High School as an example?
It is my understanding that you can. It gets tricky, though, especially if you're trying to find another high school venue, because they're all playing postseason games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets very tricky with trying to make that happen, especially since you're trying to determine it before seed meetings. You know, if you have an idea of what the seeds are and what things could look like, you could maybe try to find that. You know, another situation is, you know, somebody floated, like for our district, and nothing ever came of this, but somebody floated the idea of Lynn,
okay.
Lynn High School for us. Well, Lynn is a class lower than us, so their district tournament is a week before us. But if they make postseason play, and we haven't got to this topic yet, but when you get to the sectional and quarterfinal rounds, you know, if Lynn makes it out of districts and they have to host a sectional or a quarterfinal, then we could be scrambling to find another place. So it gets very tricky if you try to go to a neutral site outside of your district.
On the bottom line, too, is you've got a plan for this. You can't just come up a week and a half before district and say, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, it's very similar to what football has been doing for years. You know, you get to district and the higher seed host, and then you get past districts, and I know you're going to ask me about this here in a minute, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but then, you know, you continue to host all the way until the finals. And, yeah, you can't just fly by the seat of your pants. You got to have a plan in place.
Sectional and quarterfinal games, as the press release indicates, will now be hosted by a member school. In the past, a lot of the sectional and quarterfinal games were played at college campuses across the state. For you, the last couple of years, it's been at Sedalia High School, but again, it's at a place that would be considered a neutral site. That's not going to happen this year, right?
No, it's not. And again, I'll compare it to football. So you get out of your district tournament and you get to the sectional round, and the way they're going to determine who gets to host is they will look back to the district tournament and see who has hosted throughout the district tournament. And if one of the two schools in the sectional round has hosted fewer games, they will get to host the sectional round. So if both teams have hosted the same amount of games, then they look at the bracket, the state bracket, and the host team will be the team that's on top of the bracket. Since this is an odd number year, 2021, the team on top of the bracket would host if both teams have hosted the same amount of games in the district tournament.
You know what the next question is going to be. If you play your district title game at a neutral site and you're the top seed, does that still count as a home game for you or not?
Yes.
It does.
Yep. We had the option, our district had the option to play that at the higher seeds place. So they will look at that as a you could have hosted that game. Your district decided not to, so it is considered. And there's other factors that go into that too. Like, you know, your gym, to be able to host a district game, your gym has to meet certain specifications. You know, it has to be 84 feet long by 50 feet wide. And there are some gyms, especially at some smaller schools, that do not meet those specifications. So they could be a one seed. Your gym isn't big enough, so you have to move it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those, even in those situations, they still have to count that as a host because of the seeding of your tournament.
Final question, sectionals, state quarterfinal games. Is it possible for the two schools to get together and say they will play that game at a neutral site?
I believe so. I'll be honest with you, that's the one thing that I still need to have answered. But I think so, because it all goes back to kind of what I just said. If you're supposed to host and your gym doesn't meet qualifications, or maybe there's even a facility conflict, you have to have the ability to be able to go off campus to a neutral site. But like we've said, if you were supposed to host and you go to a neutral site and you win and move on, that game would have still counted as a host game for you when right. determining the next round.
Right. Did you like that professor of postseason designation?
I've done a lot of reading on this, and I feel like the more times I read about it, the more questions I have, kind of like you. But you know, I'm hoping this is a 1 year thing and we can get back to some sense of normalcy next year, because I just think in basketball, I think neutral sites are a better option, bigger venues. I think that just adds to the overall postseason experience for the kids. And you know, we'll make it work just like we've done everything else this year, all the sports, all the administrators. You got to give a big shout out to the administrators this year. I tell you what, I mean, I was an athletic director for 12 years, and I've said on multiple times that I'm not too upset that I'm not right now, because these guys are working so much behind the scenes and doing things that people don't even realize in order to give our kids and our coaches just the opportunity to compete. So, you know, I'm thankful for all the admin.
Yeah, they've done an outstanding job. Thank you for the information. You did a great job explaining it, and we will see you soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Falcons head basketball coach Ryan Fick back with more on the Coach's Show.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
You heard that safe drivers get rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw an ad for a vintage baseball cap, and now you find yourself checking the stats of that team's second baseman in 97, wondering why his stolen base total dropped after his rookie season. Wonder how much his rookie card is worth. Yes, they said it was easy to save money with Snapshot from Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Beachcombing, baking cookies, learning French. Aren't these what you'd rather be doing than thinking about your Medicare prescriptions? Well, Walgreens is here to help you get back to it with convenient refill and pickup options, expert pharmacists to answer all your questions, and Medicare copays as low as $0. Zero. Which is also the number of cares in the world you'll have as you stroll the beach, eating cookies, and speaking French. Oh la la. Walgreens.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans where Walgreens is a preferred pharmacy.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Caitlin.
Of Bentledge Homes.
It's never a good time.
Some things just seem to fall into that category. Quitting a bad habit.
Taking a big trip.
Building your custom dream home.
But it's never too late to turn never a good time into there's no time like the present.
We're available 12 months of the year to get started on a custom dream home you'll love for all time.
So when you're ready, we're ready.
Bentledge Homes.
Your dream home begins with Bentledge.
BentledgeHomes.com.
It's winter time. For farmers, that means it's time to fix what is broken. If that means you need to rebuild your tractor engine, then it's time to call Capital Diesel. We can rebuild your fuel system, and we now have a great line of engine rebuild kits. Give us a call when you rebuild that next engine. We can even get replacement hydraulic pumps for your tractor. Capital Diesel, where there's always an owner available.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
What is the best thing about Hawthorne Bank?
You're more than just a number or a bank account.
And they care. Having a banker that knows you, that knows your business, I mean, you can't even put a price on that.
They are genuinely interested in the community. It made me feel like I was going to have a partner in my business and not somebody that was just going to sit there and crunch the numbers.
This has just been an answer to prayer to be a part of this family that's the Hawthorne Bank family.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC, Hawthorne Bank.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Elias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler. What a week of basketball for the Crusaders. You beat the Jays on Tuesday, Capital City on Thursday. Overtime win on the road against Father Tolton on Friday. Congratulations, coach.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. Hey, yeah, it was a fun week.
Four-point victory over the Jays at 52-48. A couple of numbers for that game real quick. 32 rebounds, 14 of 18 from the foul line for you.
Yeah, you know, that game seems like a year ago after this week. But, you know, it was another Jeff City Elias rivalry game that went down to the wire. And I thought our guys played a really good fourth quarter and made some clutch free throws and made some really smart plays down the stretch.
Thursday at home, your only home game, by the way, in the month of January, as you had the Capital City Cavaliers at the Rackers Fieldhouse, and you won the ball game by a score of 82-73. You were 16 of 20 from the foul line. That was a great basketball game to watch.
It was. It was fun. It was up and down. And those games are always fun. And you know why? As a coach, you want to see a little bit better showing on the defensive end, but gotta like what we saw on the offensive end and able to pull out another rivalry win.
Couple of numbers from that game. I think Desmond White was 14 of 20 from the field for you on Thursday, and you get 20 points from Damon Johans, and I thought he had an exceptional game on Thursday.
He did. You know, senior night for us, and he's one of our seniors, and he's been a varsity player for 3 years now, and you know, he's such a big part of what we do, and he doesn't always score like that, but it's nice to see him put up some points.
You know, after having those two games, the rivalry games on Tuesday and Thursday, you're right back at it with a rivalry game in Columbia last night against Father Tolton. These two teams played in the Grade 8, and they won on a buzzer beater. It's only one of two losses that you have on the season at 12-2, and by the way, riding an 8-game winning streak. But you returned the favor last night, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was one of those games that you'll remember forever, double overtime and, you know, half court buzzer beater and just a bunch of guys out there just making plays. I mean, that was a player's game, and it was whoever was going to make the final play, and we were fortunate enough to do it.
You win the game by a score of 76-73, half court shot made at the buzzer by Malcolm Davis. Take us down to the last couple of seconds and before that shot is made. What happened?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we had the ball, called timeout, and we drew up a play, and it kind of got the pass kind of got bobbled, and actually Javon Porter went after the steal and got out of position. So, you know, we just kind of went and thought we got a good look at the rim, but ended up not, and they got the ball back with about 2.5 seconds, I believe. And you know, we just we told the guys, do whatever you can to not let them get a clean look at the rim, and our guys locked in defensively and came up with a steal and tipped it to Malcolm, and you know, the rest was history. He drained one of those shots that you don't see very often at all, and it was a fun celebration.
Basically had to take it and shoot it, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Desmond tipped it to him, and Desmond got the steal and tipped it right to Malcolm, and I think he had one dribble, and he launched it, and you know, it was, didn't expect it to go in, but when it dropped, it was fun to watch.
Desmond White last night with 37 points for you. He's had an outstanding week, hasn't he?
He has, yeah, and he's getting more and more confident every day. Sometimes we forget that he's just a sophomore, and he's having an outstanding season, and the great thing about him is he just keeps getting better and better, and he you know, he comes to work every day, and he's one of the hardest working kids that I've ever coached. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for him, and you're going to see a lot of great things out of him down the road.
You'll be busy next week at Columbia Hickman, then down to Bolivar for a tournament, right?
Yep, you have another 4-game week, so it's going to be a grind. We're going to be off today and try to get back at it a little bit, but save some legs and hopefully have another good week next week.
I'll take a look at your schedule real quick, because I think after the Bolivar tournament, you'll play just one game in 16 days between January 30th and February the 16th, and then it'll be 5 games in 10 days.
Yeah, well, we did reschedule Rolla for February 11th,
okay.
I believe. So that would add another game in there. But yeah, we'll have a little bit of practice time and some rest time, which we'll probably need. But yeah, then we'll get right back at it with some more games again.
Yeah, it's good to know that you put the Rolla game back on the schedule. I know you were trying to do that, but at last check, it hadn't been done yet.
Yeah, we just finalized it late this week, so it's good to go on there.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck next week. It'll be a busy week for you in Columbia and then down in Bolivar.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler again in Columbia Monday night as they'll take on the Hickman Cupies. We'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5.